powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by a very special guest, Jay Godinen, co-founder and president of Wrenchway and Beyond the Wrench podcast. Jay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being a part of this episode. This is really near and dear to my heart, and I think it's well within your wheelhouse of technicians. Where have they all gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge concern, not only for us, but for the industry as a whole, in that we're seeing kind of a mass exodus of technicians from the industry. And they're not leaving or hopping from one shop to another shop necessarily, but just flat out leaving the industry and going to work in another blue collar trade or going white collar and doing, you know, whether it's advising or working for a non-traditional automotive company, or, you know, there's just a variety of different ways to branch out. And I think we're feeling the pain of that right now. We're feeling the pain of them having options and leaving the shop to go, maybe not necessarily to another shop, but to another business altogether.
Yeah. So before we get started into this very hot topic, what is Wrenchway?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. My background was, I've been in this business all my life. I grew up in a small independent repair shop up in Wisconsin, a town of 2,500 people. And when my dad had started that business, he didn't have very much money, and I was about 9 years old. So I would help him out in any way that I could, right? I was answering phones, you know, over the course of the summer and after school, filling out deposit slips, sweeping, cleaning, whatever I could do to help out, just because we didn't have enough hands to be able to do it. He's grown that business to be a really good business now. But my journey really kind of, I went to tech school to become a technician, came back to the shop, was awful at it, was a really bad technician. I kind of say that in lightheartedly, but at the time it was really a tough thing for me to go through. It was something I always thought I wanted to do. And kind of got my butt kicked by it. So that put me into different aspects of the industry. And luckily, it led me to different paths where I was more comfortable, right? I love talking to people and building relationships. And so went through a variety of different areas. I worked for a manufacturer as a district service manager, then one of the dealerships. This was on actually the equipment side, which is an interesting story in and of itself. But one of the dealers that I was a rep for recruited me over to run their parts and service departments. So I oversaw the parts and service departments of a 7-location John Deere dealership in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And then, like, kind of over the course of all of that, I had always noticed that there was an issue with people trying to find skilled labor and specifically technicians. And so I started a company in 2017 called Find a Wrench. That grew really, really fast. It was more of a traditional headhunter for technicians and, you know, started off really not knowing what I was doing. I was on the other side of it where I needed technicians. I just knew that there was a huge need. I'd actually bought the domain right to Find a Wrench, I think, back in 2004. So it was an idea that I had for a long time. And so we grew that business really fast. I joke, probably way too fast. Because it kind of impacted our customer service, our ability to really execute what we were selling. And so that combined with really the fact that there just wasn't enough people out in the industry, we knew that we needed to pivot a little bit. So I joined forces with my business partner, Mark Wilson, who had a background in technology and just a really smart business person. He's a CPA, and we formed Wrenchway. And so as we pivoted to Wrenchway, what we were looking for was a better way for shops to be able to market themselves to technicians, fully knowing that there's not enough help out there, right? That you're going to have to find that help. So we created a platform around that. Really, we work with the shops to be able to create habits to really kind of be proactively recruiting at all times. And really have a system in place in general. I find that very few dealerships have a true system to go after skilled talent or skilled labor. So we work with them almost on a two-pronged approach of what are you doing to find, you know, immediate help. Mm-hmm. So we talk about a lot in our content that we feel that 75% of technicians are content but not happy, meaning they go to get their paycheck but they're not thrilled with where they're working. So you want to be able to stick out to those people. That's really what the platform's all about. So there's a public facing side and a backside to it that really help. And then lastly, the second prong to that two-pronged approach is schools, being able to build your own pipeline and building really, really good relationships with your schools at a local level so that maybe you don't have these same problems 10 years down the road that you do now.
Yeah, almost having like a minor league technician club, if you will, if you compare it to baseball, right?
Yeah.
I really, really like that. So I'm glad you got into, you know, what the company is all about, both on the front end of the facing house and the back end of it. We had Dan Benke on episode 5, and he really talked about tips on technician shortage and new technology. So this, I think this will really kick it up a notch. And, you know, my first real question for you is, what has changed in the last 15 years with technicians, in your opinion?
I think a lot has. One, I think it requires a lot more skilled labor now. I think in the past, you know, even you look back to 10 years ago, there was still a problem. You know, 15 years ago, the whole reason I had this thought in the back of my head was because there was an issue that the industry had been ignoring for decades, right? Like it was building up. And I think it goes back to, in my opinion, back to like the start of the automotive repair business, right? Like where we weren't charging anything for our time. And that put us behind what the other skilled trades are at. You know, you look at a plumber or an electrician and they're charging significantly more than we are as shops. So being able to offer competitive pay and benefits to our people is really, really difficult because you can't just go in and say, hey, we're going to raise our labor rate by $50 or $75 an hour to catch up because you're not going to be competitive with the other shop. So, you know, for the longest time, it was a battle to the bottom to see who had the lowest labor rate, which was, and I mean, to me, just mind blowing why we would do that. You know, why aren't we working together as a collective to be able to make sure that, you know, we have a united front on competitive labor rates so that we can treat our people fair.
Yeah. And I think the customer really wants that as well, because in your example, the plumber, do I really have time in my busy day to call 5 plumbers to see what they're going to charge me to do something that's wrong with my plumbing? No, I don't. So you're right. We did it to ourselves as an industry, is that, you know, we didn't charge Mrs. Jones to look at this, right? We just took care of it for her and didn't charge for our time. And then when Mrs. Jones had that same problem again, a couple of years later, we started charging for her. And she's like, well, what are you doing? Right?
It's 100% right. No, and you're right. I mean, and you think about all the variables that go into this, whether it's somebody doing a job at home for half the price of what the labor is in the shop. We're discounting that labor and cheapening our value in the shop by doing side work. And I totally get it. Me as a technician back in the day would do side work. And honestly, it was because I wasn't getting paid enough to be able to, you know, to sustain a lifestyle. So, you know, I think it all kind of goes back to that. And we in our industry do a really good job at kind of chasing our tail. And I think that's there's a lot of reasons why we do that. But there's some really simple fixes, I think, that we could really move the needle with as an industry.
Yeah, I like where you're going with this. So here's my other question. Why are shops struggling to keep their technicians? And I think you hit a little bit on this is competitive pay and not doing side work. When I was an advisor, I had technicians that were working until 5 o'clock, staying there, still using our shop and our supplies to work on a family vehicle, a friend's vehicle, or somebody else's. and there was no RO written or anything like that. They were doing side work in the building of the dealership. I never thought that was the right thing to do.
No, and I get why a shop does that, right? Because it is such a competitive market for technicians that you kind of have to cater to a technician and what they're wanting. You know, I do think there's some benefit to being able to do that for friends and family. I think there are times where maybe that line is pushed a little bit, and really you get people making money at your shop that maybe shouldn't be. But, you know, there's a reason for all of that, right? And I think it does kind of come back to, if they were making enough money in the shop to start with, they probably wouldn't be looking for all that side work.
Right. So why do shops struggle at keeping technicians with them a long period of time? And we talk about loyalty in sports, right? Why aren't we talking about loyalty with technicians or even employees in general?
To me, it's a really simple math problem, right? Like, you look at how short we are on technicians across the country. And when you start to do the math, it's really easy to see why. And the reason is they just have an abundance of options. They could pick up their toolbox and go work pretty much anywhere. Everybody's looking for techs. And, you know, I think that is very frustrating from a shop's perspective because you don't know what to do to keep them. When I talk about this with shops, one of the biggest things that I tell them is make sure you're listening to them, and don't just listen to them in a way that goes in one ear and out the other. Actually take time to get to know them. Really, you know, they can tell if you care about them or if you're just a means to get a bigger paycheck, right? So being able to truly sit down with them, grow relationships so that when they do look at another job, that you make it really hard on them, right? Because you treat them so good that it's hard to go elsewhere. And that doesn't always just come down to money either, right? Like, if you're treating them really, really well and, you know, you're treating them fairly, you know, in terms of what work they get, that kind of stuff, I think that helps retention a lot. But at the end of the day, you just have to have really good relationships with your technicians and really understand what their frustrations are. If they are frustrated with the money side, lay out a plan for them to be, you know, make more money, right? Like, what can they do to make more money, and help them come to terms with that, hey, we can get you there. You just have to do these steps in order to get there. And so hopefully that keeps them patient. A lot of times, I think, especially with the younger generations, they tend to look at that list and say, I'm not going to do all that. I could just go across the street and make that same money without having to do all that stuff. So it is definitely challenging, but my best advice is just be a good place to work at, be good people, and I don't think you're going to have near the problems.
I like that tip, because it's almost like dealing with an upset customer. What can we do within reason to earn your business, right? And then you're coming up with plans on how you're going to do that, right? I teach that all the time when it comes to customer satisfaction. I understand you're upset. I too would be upset. What can I do within reason that will make you happy? So listening to those technicians, getting to know them, like you said, and really saying, okay, well, if your goal is to earn X, here are the steps that I see you doing in order to earn that and be certified to make that level of income. I really, Jay, that's perfect. And that's what you tell your clients now. I think that's really good advice for everyone that's out there listening. So yeah, to really keep them, you're it's time, right? You're spending time with them, whether it's having a employee barbecue or doing an employee outing or just having them sit in your office over coffee. I think that's perfect.
Well, and I think to add one thing to that, this is a common scenario that I see where shop is notified that a technician is putting in their 2 weeks notice. They then are like, oh no, what am I going to do without Jimmy? You know, Jimmy's leaving. And then they get desperate, right? And so they come crawling and they throw some crazy offer at Jimmy, and Jimmy decides to stay. But then now the paradigm has shifted, and Jimmy knows that he's got a lot of leverage. And so then when something, you know, when he doesn't get his way with, you know, maybe they want a new special tool and it just isn't in the cards right now. It creates some friction. So without that relationship ahead of time, you're not even going to know that the person is possibly leaving until they give their 2 weeks. And then you put yourself, you know, you put your back against the wall in some really, really bad spots.
Yeah, that's spot on. It's that you would know because you have the relationship that they're not happy before they actually come out and say they're not happy. You have your hands on the pulse, if you will. That's great. So should we come up with a different title for technicians? Is technicians kind of an older term? I know we've gone through the evolution of, you know, service advisors. We had them called, we called them writers. We had them called, I think, customer advocates. I mean, there's all kinds of different title changes that have gone through the advisor part of it. Should we be doing that with the new state-of-the-art technician? Because when I hear technician, I think of someone's hands that are greasy, that are wearing, you know, those latex gloves, or they can pull a transmission out in 30 seconds. And you know, that's really not the new style of technology and what the tech is doing now, really.
So this is an extremely hot topic, right? And I think there are passionate people on both ends of this. You know, I think, you know, my dad, who still owns a shop, always kind of, he tells me, he says, you know, they're still technicians and they're still mechanics, and the mechanics really handle the mechanical side. Technicians handle more of the diagnostic side. You know, like in his head, there's two split positions. My biggest issue with the technician term, and I think it's very fitting in terms of what it is, but people are confused by it, right? And so if you go to a cocktail party and you say, hey, I'm a technician. Okay, well, what does that mean? Like, are you a pharmacy technician? Are you a, you know, like, are you a lab technician? What kind of technician are you? But if you go to that same party and you say, I'm a mechanic, people know, right? And so I actually wrote a blog about this a long time ago, and it generated some pretty wild comments, I think, because people are passionate about it. But my personal opinion, and this is the opposite of what everybody else's opinion is, I feel like, but I actually over the years have changed my mind on this a little bit. I used to be very, very pro technician name at some level. I think we're doing ourselves a disservice. Maybe if we went, you know, to that mechanic name, which people are going to hate. But if you did, people know what you're talking about. And if you go through a full rebranding of what a mechanic is, rather than trying to deny it and just fully buy into it and really show people what we are, I think there's a lot of value in that. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think, you know, technicians take a lot of pride in the name, as they should. But I think it was because mechanic was such a bad word for such a long time, right? And so it's not maybe indicative or descriptive of what a technician is actually doing, which I think is why people have a problem with it. My big thing is when you look to go change the perception of our profession, when you go to a school and you say, yeah, we're hiring technicians, I don't think it gives a clear picture of what we're actually, you know, what we're trying to do. When you go in and say mechanic, it's pretty natural. People know what you're talking about. But I don't have the answer for it. I don't think that is probably the right answer. But, you know, I think when we look at it, I feel like we've almost got a marketing or branding problem as much as we do the actual title itself, and maybe a lack of clarity on what that is.
Man, I love that. It's not really the name that needs to change. It's the marketing of it, right? If you're absolutely right. When someone comes up to me and says, hey, what do you do? I mean, that's a very popular question when you're meeting somebody. Well, this is what I do, right? This is who I am. And if you don't have an answer for that and they don't understand it, you've got to, it's almost like telling a joke. If you've got to really explain the joke, it's really not funny, right?
It's true. Now, I think you can help yourself if you're like, I'm an automotive technician. People, I think we've promoted that enough to where people understand it. But, you know, when people are talking and that technician's not in the room, I still have a feeling they're saying, oh yeah, he's a mechanic. Like, I don't feel like they're saying, oh, he's an automotive technician. I think they say he's a mechanic. And, you know, I think my philosophy has been, why run from it when you could actually just embrace it and change what that name means?
Yeah. I love that 100%. So it's marketing, 100%. Wow. That's, you just blew my mind right there.
I'm sure it won't be a popular opinion. I know that. And I totally get the other side. I was on the other side for a long, long time, but the more and more I dig into this, the more and more I'm like, man, I just think we could do some really easy things to rebrand what a mechanic is. And then we internally know what technicians are because we've been dealing with them forever. But when you're trying to build base with build trust with a customer base that doesn't clearly know what you are or what you're supposed to be named, I think, in an industry where we're trying to gain trust, that sometimes, I don't know.
You've got it. I almost think of that Roger Dangerfield skit he did, that's mind blowing. That's all I can think of. It's just mind blowing. So thank you for sharing that. I really, really like that. We're getting up close to the end of our time. So before we get too far into it, I just want to ask, what are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor who's listening, a tech, an agent, someone on the leadership team of the dealership, or even an owner can really take away from this episode?
One, I would look at your offering in general, right? Are you a good business to work at? And when I say that, take a deep look in the mirror. Don't just kind of, I think we're a good place to work. I'm not too worried about that. Like, look and see what your competitors are doing. Look and see what, maybe not even your competitors, look at what tech companies are doing right now. Their benefits would blow away any dealership when it comes down to it. So being able to look and find ways that you can add value to your employees for being there, I think the more you can do that, the less you're reliant on money, right? So being able to come up with benefits that really benefit those people and move the needle for them is huge. I think for me, a big piece of trying to find help in the shop is being proactive. Don't be reactive. That's when really, really bad hires happen. When you're hiring just to find a warm body because you're desperate, that never leads to, I shouldn't say it never leads to a good result. It can result in really, really poor results consistently. So that would be another piece. Lastly, I think the technicians in our shops are our superstars, right? They're, if you think about a football team or a basketball team, I use the basketball team analogy because it's easier from a visual standpoint, where you see your five players on the court, they're your superstars. You still have a coach, you still have a general manager of the team, but they're not the ones actually going out and scoring the points, right? And that's the same way a shop is. Our technicians need to be shown as our superstars and not hidden behind a curtain. And I think everybody's so scared of getting their technicians poached from them that they hide them, and it does them a disservice, because if they're our superstars and we're trying not to promote them, we're trying not to show them off because we're scared, people see that. And I think for me, I would rather just figure out how can I be the best destination shop for people to go to, for technicians to go to. And then just be confident when you put their names out there that they're happy where they're at, and come try to poach my people because they're treated so well here, they're not going anywhere.
That's awesome. I love those three takeaways. Nailed it. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest in the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Jay, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end like I do with every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely, Corey. It was a blast. I really enjoyed this conversation and look forward to the next one.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.